So the theme for December is hope. The question that we are asked to consider as participants in the Soul Matters Sharing Circle is, what does it mean to be a people of hope? And I confess I struggled with this one at this particular time in our lives. What might it mean to be people of hope in this seemingly unprecedented time that we are living in? I don't need to list the problems facing us. You all know them, from climate change to politics, economic inequality, a seemingly bottomless dearth of integrity. Is it naive to be hopeful? Does it smack of Pollyanna? We get a packet of information every month from Soul Matters Sharing Circle relative to the theme that's being considered. But it also includes the calendar of events relative to religious happenings and things, which is always kind of interesting. This December is a busy month, of course. In addition to the Christian season of Advent, which, as I mentioned earlier, begins today, there is Bodhi Day, which is the anniversary of the Buddha's enlightenment, which is celebrated on December 8th. There's Hanukkah, the Jewish celebration of light, this year from December 12th to the 20th. The pagan celebration of the solstice on December 21st, and Kwanzaa from the 26th to January 1st. Our packet mentioned that it is also Seasonal Depression Awareness Month. I didn't know. But it is a serious thing for many people, so the International Day of Persons with Disabilities is today. And tragically, the anniversary of Sandy Hook is on December 14th. Rosa Parks was arrested on December 1st in 1955, 62 years ago. Oddly, they neglected to mention Pearl Harbor Day, which is December 7th. It is a full month. And then, as I mentioned, they ask, what does it mean to be a people of hope? This is such a strange time we're living in right now. I feel like every week we could share a list as long as our arms of political and cultural challenges. And in the last few weeks, especially, the fact that we are finally hearing about the plethora of sexual assaults is phenomenal and shocking and, I suppose, hopeful in a way that they are coming into the light and being addressed sometimes. And I'm also reminded that we each have our own very real and ongoing concerns to cope with. And the thing is that where hope is concerned, like many things, I found myself thinking, it's complicated. It's not as if you either have hope or you don't have hope. I may have told you a story of the minister who was approached by a congregant. I heard this story from him years ago, saying, the congregant said, well, it's easy for you. You have faith. As if faith were something, he said to us, you could pick up at the market. Hope doesn't sit over here on its own, available for a visit necessarily. It is amorphous and intangible, and it feels to me, actually, that hope needs a partner even to exist. Or maybe partners. At the very least, it seems it needs imagination. One can't hope for what one can't imagine. And I think it needs engagement, even as it is forward-looking, out ahead of us somewhere. Hope needs engagement with the present, doesn't it? Cornel West suggests that hope is an existential phenomenon, less a thing than a way of being in the world. I think it's why the story of Jacob resonated so loudly for me, what Amanda shared with us this morning. In Genesis chapter 32 is the description of Jacob returning home, having been away from with his wife's family for many years. And he's not sure what reception he will get from Esau. One night, fording a stream, he sends his wife and children ahead and finds himself wrestling in the river with something or someone. It's not entirely clear in the Bible itself if it's a person, an angel, or some kind of heavenly representative. As Simon so wisely commented, perhaps God herself. And I thought, we wrestle, don't we, with our own challenges, our own fears. They wake us up at night, and sometimes they keep us really busy, sometimes all night long. And try as we might to put them aside and go back to sleep, sometimes we wrestle endlessly. In Genesis, Jacob prevails, sort of, though he is left with an injured hip. And aren't we left in our struggles with a sort of mark as well, or a changed part of ourselves, if only in our tender hearts? When we find our way to hope, aren't we grounded in some way by what we want to be changed? And so we carry that as well. And yet Jacob survived the struggle. Whatever he was wrestling with cried out, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." And Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. Turn my worries around," he seems to say. "Help me see these challenges as something useful." And so, in the story, he was blessed. Maybe he was blessed because he was willing to fight. He was engaged. He struggled. He didn't give up. Is that what hope requires then? This is the first Sunday of Advent in the Christian calendar, the time of waiting, the time of anticipating an arrival. It begins then, this time of engaged waiting, perhaps. I love the invitation that this time of year represents. It is a period of time to imagine a new way, or imagine a new energy, a new life. It's not here yet, that phenomenon, whatever it is, whatever it represents for us. Christmas is not here yet, but we get to imagine it. And it is inherently hope-filled in its yearning for light, for love, for kindness, for giving. So we wonder, what do we want? What do we hope for? We get to ponder it this whole month. It could be something really grand. In the words of Bruce Springsteen, spiritual advisor to many, "I want to find that river of life. I want to find that river of love. I want to find that river of faith, that river of hope. I want to go to that river of transformation where you can go and be changed. I want to go to that river of resurrection where everybody gets a second chance. I want to find that river of joy and river of happiness." Or it could be somewhat less grand. "I want a bit of peace in our hearts, or some peace of mind." Not that these are small things, by the way. Our imaginations call us to think forward and to wonder what it would be like if the world were a more perfect place. And sometimes in that wondering, we dare to hope. And sometimes things get in our way. Our Thomas More reading this morning, so simple. "It's good to see a monastery going up," said the pilgrim. "They're tearing it down," said the abbot. "Whatever for?" "So we can see the sunrise at dawn," said the abbot. "Because we need to see the sunrise again and again." And it made me wonder what wall stands in the way for us. What stops us each, if anything, from seeing the beauty of a new day, from feeling hopeful? Are there things we need to deconstruct for ourselves? Our cynicism, perhaps. our despair, our sense of fatalism, tall walls in the way of hope. The thing about hope is, in addition to imagination and engagement, it requires wanting. Sometimes wanting something else more than what is already in front of us. So we have to ask what we're willing to break down, if only within us, so we can see that sunrise. What are we willing to give up in order that our hope might come to pass, in order that we might hope at all? We're so impatient. That's the other thing about hope. Sometimes what we hope for has a season of its own. The Reverend Christina Shue shares, "As the Advent calendar demonstrates, this is a time of anticipation and waiting, of allowing oneself to be in a state of preparation to receive hope. But we live in a culture that doesn't value waiting or value taking the long view. Our individualism, our consumerism, our addiction to the fast everything. I remember," she says, "the Dalai Lama once joked that Americans always want to know, what is the easiest, the fastest, and the least expensive way to enlightenment?" Silly us, silly us. Here we are at Theodore Parker Church, for example, becoming what we hoped to be. More outward seeking, more outward doing, more engagement with the present struggles of the world, which might be what it means to be a people of hope, right? Imaginative, engaged, wanting, and yet we struggle because it's different. And we're impatient with it all. Poet and United Church of Christ minister Jan Richardson offers us a poem called Jacob's Blessing. It is a testament to hope, I think. "If this blessing were easy, anyone could claim it. As it is, I am here to tell you that it will take some work. This is the blessing that visits you in the struggling, in the wrestling, in the striving. This is the blessing that comes after you have left everything behind, after you have stepped out, after you have crossed into that realm beyond every landmark you have known. This is the blessing that takes all night to find. It's not that this blessing is so difficult, as if it were not filled with grace or with the love that lives in every line. It's simply that it requires you to want it, to ask for it, to place yourself in its path. It demands that you stand to meet it when it arrives, that you stretch yourself in ways you didn't know you could move, that you agree not to give up. So when this blessing comes, born in the hands of the difficult angel who has chosen you, do not let go. Give yourself into its grip. It will wound you, but I tell you, there will come a day when what felt to you like limping was something more like dancing as you moved into the cadence of your new and blessed name." I want that blessing for all of you, for all of us, that blessing of hope, the one that requires imagination and engagement, wanting and patience and steadfastness. I want us to be willing to bear the mark of our efforts and trust that hope will move us forward. I want us to be involved in creating a future that is inherently hopeful, which means it will be a struggle, and it will require our commitment, because we don't hope for ourselves alone. Hope is a shared endeavor. We are each other's bridge. Let's take this time of anticipation, this month of waiting and wondering, to nurture the blessing of hope within ourselves and within each other. Let's have it be our way of living. Eyes wide open for the sun's rise. And even as it is a place of challenge, of wrestling and risk, let it be a place of comfort for us and for our world, so badly in need. May we be filled with that hope.